Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has struck us and he will bind up our wounds. Let us pray. O Lord our God, in this morning hour, with our hearts and minds awaking to the new day, our thoughts turn towards you, our God. You are our Creator, the power behind the universes, Maker and Monarch and Saviour of all. Lord, it is with contrite hearts that we seek to return to you today. Contrite because we've not always made the best use of the life and the time and the talents which you have entrusted to us. Sorry for the unworthy things which have dominated our thinking and shone through in our words and actions. Contrite we are then, Lord, but resolute and determined too, because we know that you are asking us to rise to better things, to attempt greater things for you in our daily living. We seek to be ambassadors for you in the world, in all the situations we meet. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do it without your help. Come to us, Lord, and help us to know you more intimately in this earthly life. Let your coming into our life be like the morning, the promise of a new day with its opportunities and its challenge. Help us to respond to that challenge with all our heart, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning, especially to the young people in the church. We have some young people around about the church. And I'd like to think with you today about a story. It's a story in the Bible, and I'm sure that it's one that you know quite well. And to help us to think about that story, I've got a couple of drawings here. Here's the first drawing. I don't know if you can see from all that far away what it is. It's a drawing of five things that are all the same. And I don't know if you know what they are. Five things all the same. Yes. Five loaves they are. Yes. Small loaves. Five loaves. Now that reminds us of a story in the Bible, doesn't it? You remember that story, don't you? Young people in the church. Five loaves. That was what Jesus took and gave to people, wasn't it? For people to eat. And there wasn't only five loaves, there was something else as well. And I have the other drawing. What should this drawing be showing then? Yes? Two fishes. It does show two fishes, doesn't it? Yes, there we are. I knew that I would not have to tell you. I would only have to show you the five loaves and the two fishes. It's a well-known story. We know that story about Jesus. But there are things about the story that are always worth thinking about. And one of them is this, that when Jesus said to his disciples at the beginning of the story, how are we going to feed all these people? Do you remember how many people there were? Remember? There were a large number of people. Well, you see if you can find out how many people there were that were fed with the five loaves and the two fishes. Anyway, Jesus said to his disciples, how are we going to feed them all? And one of his disciples said, oh, we don't have enough food and we don't have enough money to buy food that would serve all these people. And then another one of his disciples spoke and he said, well, he said, here's a boy and he's got five loaves and two fishes in his basket. And I don't think that's very much, but it's a start. And so he brought these to Jesus And Jesus started with them, and the whole crowd of people were all fed enough to eat. Do you remember which disciple it was who said that? Yes, it was Andrew who said that, yes. It was Andrew. And so we follow Andrew, especially in Scotland, where he's our patron saint. All Andrew did that was different from the other disciple, all he did, I mean, he saw too how difficult it was to feed all these people, but all he did was to say, well, here's a start. It's not very much, but it's a start. And that's what you and I have to do for Jesus. We're maybe not able to do very much. We're young and we're small and we don't count for much maybe, but we can do something. And whatever we can do to help is worth doing, because with it, Jesus works a miracle. Jesus makes wonderful things happen, just as he made wonderful things happen with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. He can do that with little things that you and I can do. So let's keep on doing those little things to help other people, and it helps Jesus in his work in the world. Now we're going to sing the Young People's Hymn. It's from Junior Praise, number 195. No, that's next week's, I'm sorry, that's next week's number. Number 43. Father, lead me day by day. God's word in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, at verse 1. Isaiah, chapter 58, at verse 1. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and unite the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." And in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, at verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 184, Sing to the Lord a Joyful Song, 184. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, at verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. To the end of my days, I'm sure, I'll never be able to read or hear this famous verse of the Bible without thinking back to the days of my childhood and youth. I spent my childhood and youth in just that kind of place, a city on a hill. And always at the back of one's mind there lingers the haunting, reproachful reminder that citizens of such a place have less excuse than others for not doing as Jesus commands and letting their light shine for the benefit of other people. Less excuse because every day in life they're in a city on a hill. When they've been away somewhere and they come back home, they can see it all the more clearly that their city on a hill cannot be hidden. So what does it mean when Jesus says, you're the light of the world, and you're supposed to let your light shine to benefit those around you? What does that mean that we have to do? How are we supposed to put his words into practice in our day-to-day life? Well, right away he explains what he means by the illustration of the city on a hill. It can be seen from far away and from every direction. The road and the miles don't hide it from view. That's like a light. That's the way the Christian should be. If the Christian faith is present, it should stand out, because it's not like anything else. Christians are human beings, subject to the same experiences as other human beings, yet their Christianity makes them different. It makes them stand out. If we are truly Christian, we stand out because we're braver than others. There have been some notably brave Christians in time of war whose stories make interesting reading. What about hospitals? Don't we see in the true Christian who has to undergo a spell in hospital, don't we see a bravery there, which is something else? It's not just putting a brave face on it. Lots of people do that. It's not just saying brave words. It's that inner certainty that because Jesus is alive, we too shall live, and nothing can separate us from his love. Hospital and illness, that provides a ready example. But there are countless situations in ordinary life in which we're called upon to be brave. And because Jesus is living in us, we're capable of that bravery, and it stands out as a light for others to see. So this is what Jesus is saying to you and me. You are my followers, he says, and that means you're seen as a light is seen. You stand out as a city on a hill stands out. Your Christian faith, that's what makes you stand out. Exercise Christian faith, and we will be seen to be Christians. That's one of the main ways of spreading the gospel. It was one of the ways in which word of Jesus spread in the days of his earthly life. People saw what he was like. They saw how different he was from others. In particular, they saw how different he was from the scribes and Pharisees, the professional religious people of the day. And ever since the days of Jesus' earthly life, the light has been seen in his disciples of succeeding generations through their exercising faith. That's what's expected of you and me, the disciples of the present day. It's not always easy to let that light be seen, to be seen as Christians exercising our faith in the hurly-burly of life. The very nature of the life we have to live makes that an extremely difficult task sometimes. So what do we do? Well, the answer may not be easy either, but at least the answer is simple. We simply have to keep Jesus in our sights. You and I, we come to church, we're exposed to the Christian influence in worship, we hear the words of Scripture, we sing the words of hymns, we take those things away with us when we leave the sanctuary. Maybe we don't realize that we're taking them with us, but we are. All through the common days of the week, there is this treasure house of Christian influence to nurture our faith. And that'll help us to shine as a light, to be seen as a Christian. The light should be seen. And of course, it should be seen for a purpose. When people see the light, which is the light of Christian lives being lived out in faith and in dependence on the Master himself, when people see that light, it should do something for them. What it does is to serve as a guide. I can remember far enough back to remember when street lamps were on standards not nearly as high as they are nowadays, when they were lit by gas and had to be lit by a lamp lighter, a leary with his long pole. I can remember that far back. I can't remember back to when there were no street lights in the city at all, but I gather that when they were introduced, it was a gradual process. Some parts of the city had street lights, while other parts were still waiting to get them. And in our city on the hill, evidently one of the last places to be blessed with street lights was the suburb of Lochee. So that long afterwards it was still referred to locally as Lochee na Licht. If we have na Licht, we go blundering in the dark. And that is one of the benefits which the Christian Church is here to confer on the world, the benefit of a light to guide. When we see an aeroplane travelling through the sky at night, it makes us realise how important are the landing lights which are going to guide that plane safely to land on the runway. And I don't have a head for heights. I've only a few times been to the top of a lighthouse. Once was at Scurdy Ness at Montrose, and there in particular the vertigo was going for me and I couldn't enjoy the splendid view from the platform of the lighthouse, which was one of the main objectives of the outing. But I could appreciate the value of the lighthouse all the same, the light which shines out at night, warning the seafarers of the rocks which they must avoid. Lights to guide us in safely to land, lights to warn of dangers to be avoided. Yes, the Christian is meant to be a light which serves in both of those ways. That's what's expected of you and me. So how can we guide? How can we warn? How can we be the kind of light which the Lord means when he says you are the light of the world? Well, sometimes in the most simple of ways, there is an account of the famous evacuation of troops from Dunkirk in the Second World War, which mentions a number of French soldiers who had been brought safely across the Channel and landed in one of the English ports, but who'd lost everything in the process and who were lying around very dispirited. Then from one of the ships which had landed in port, off marched the guards. They'd been at Dunkirk too, but somehow they'd managed to wash and shave and gather their equipment, and they marched off in proud ranks and strict order. I'd like to say they marched off to the tune of the 10th Battalion Highland Light Infantry crossing the Rhine, but that, of course, that's a different episode. But anyway, off they marched, and the Frenchmen at first were amazed. And then they stood up and watched, And then they fell in behind the guards and marched proudly as well. It was the force of example, simple enough and yet very powerful. And in the community around us and in the world around us, there are people who are just waiting for the help which comes from a good example, a guiding light. The light which guides and the light which warns. The Christian has to serve as a warning light sometimes to keep others from danger and disaster. It's not always possible. It's not always that they'll pay attention to our warning, but we must do our best. That means we must warn not in an offensive way, but out of friendship, with real concern for the interests of those we're warning. We can only serve as warning lights properly when the Lord is living in us, when it's His light that's shining through our words and our actions. So it's important that we keep in contact with Him. It's vital that we let Him control and direct our own lives so that we can serve as we're meant to serve, as lights in this dark world. If we're going to be lights of the world, we ourselves must always follow Him who is the light of the world. Following Him is a new experience every day. There's nothing stereotyped or static about it. The church may give the impression sometimes that it is static or slow-moving or not abreast of the times, not aware of what's going on. The church may sometimes give that impression, but that is never true of the Lord Himself. He's not static, not bound by convention, not bogged down by human circumstances. He's always on the move, always going forward and inviting us to go forward with Him. It is a great adventure being a Christian. It is a great adventure being the Christian church in the world, in any generation. There's nothing boring or despondent about it. Every day in the Lord's service is a new experience. So we need not despair of our Christian faith. We need not fear for the future of Livingston Church. What we must do is to open our lives and open our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that way, we are constantly on the way to being more truly the light of the world. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Number 468, Son of God, Eternal Saviour. 468. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in glad thanksgiving for your goodness, we offer you our gifts. We pray for the power to offer and present our very selves to you, a living sacrifice dedicated and fit for your acceptance. Almighty God, giver of all good things, we thank you for your goodness and constant care, for the gift of life, for your guiding hand upon us, your sustaining love within us. We thank you for friendship and duty, for good hopes and precious memories, for the joys which cheer us and the trials which teach us to put our trust in you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, for the living presence of your Spirit, for the Church, the ministry of word and sacrament, and all the means by which your grace can reach us. In our weakness, you are our strength. In our darkness, you are our light. In our sorrows, you are our comfort and peace. From everlasting to everlasting, you are our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed forever. Eternal God, you care for all your children. You know each one, and you hear every prayer. You know each home, and you see each need. Give peace to those who call upon you. Bless your church here and everywhere. May your people's faith be strong. May they be inspired with love for your house and zeal for the gospel. Bless our Queen and those who are charged with the management of local and national affairs. Bless the whole world with peace. Bless with your comfort those who are in trouble or pain. Heal those who are ill. Support those who are dying. Console those who are mourning. Supply the wants of those who are in need. Be near to those of whom we are especially thinking today. Bless our homes, that love and joy may be there. Keep those who are absent from us in your love and care. Eternal God, we thank you that your people of every age, past, present, and future, are all in your care. Keep us faithful in our earthly life and enable us to enter the life eternal which you offer through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. A couple of things to mention today, friends, as well as what's on the leaflet. Just let me get that. Leaflets for the summer mission are ready to be distributed to the districts. They're on the table in the vestibule out there. It would be a great help if as many of the congregation as possible would take a bundle of those leaflets on the way out. And then there's an intimation from the presbytery. The presbytery of Ardrossan is looking for a part-time clerical assistant to help with administration. And we're asked to announce this and invite anyone who might be interested to contact the Reverend Ian Curry. The closing date for applications for this is the end of next month, Sunday the 31st of July. Now our closing hymn is number 190, Art Thou Afraid His Power Shall Fail, 190. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.